All right, and I'll call the monthly meeting of WPCA to order at 6:30. As always, we'll start with the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America
and to the Republic
which stands one nation under God,
indivisible,
with liberty and justice for all.
All right, roll call.
Jack Walsh.
Here.
Bob Miani.
Here.
Rose Pertoso. Kelly Curtis.
Here.
James DeMeo.
Here.
That's a quorum, so we'll get started. I don't see anyone from the public here, so we'll leave that open. So we'll go right to number five, this issue right here. So Marcy, I'll turn it over to you to tell us what we're talking about here, what's being asked.
He wants us to forgive the interest. He's owned this property for 5 years. He said he did not get the bill. I told him that you could always go online to get the bill or call. He said, well, how is he going to know what to pay? I says, well, if you go online, you could pay it. But he says he doesn't think he should have to pay the interest. But he's owned the property for 5 years, so it's not like he's a new owner.
He paid it for 3 years.
Right.
Has he been current on his regular fees?
Yeah, he has been current on his previous bills, yes.
Well, they come in the same envelope.
And also, I don't know, he lives in Stratford. This must be a rental property for him.
Well, still, he's getting all the bills in the same envelope. I know mine come in the same envelope. At least the past couple of years have. So.
Yeah.
So. I don't think we need a motion. It's just... Unless somebody wanted to do something, we're just following procedure. So, does anyone want to make a motion? All right, hearing none, we'll just continue with business the way it is. Okay, let's get back to the agenda here. Okay, engineers report. Rob, you're up.
So... And general on call, we're helping with the inlet pumps, harmonic mitigation, and VFD. So that's moving forward. On the plant upgrade, no real activity there. We're still on hold. Plans and specs for a new plant upgrade are due end of next year. So that's still pending the outcome of the other items for the privatization. Route 34, sorry to say, no update. We have not received an official response from the contractor as to the credit that's going to be offered. There was some hint at a delay claim, but that's unofficial. And so DOT is working with the contractor during negotiations. I haven't got anything definitive to even give to you to present, to review.
All right, but getting back to the rebate or change, where do we stand with that? Because you talked about numbers and it's talked about some numbers, but give us a rough idea where you think we should be.
It's definitely north of 300,000. I think it's closer to maybe 400,000 or 500,000. It's going to depend on what their response. So it's a substantial credit. I think it should be in the order of $500,000 dollars. So rough numbers.
Who determines that about? Bob?
Well, the contractor, the contractor looked at the revised drawings and they're pricing out using the bid items that they have. And they're also negotiating because we're reducing some of the scope. They could claim, an increase in unit pricing in some items, but that'll all work out. I think it's going to be a negotiation. I think it's going to be in that $500,000 range.
So my question is, we've already paid this, right? We paid DOT. So the contract is not between us and the contractor. It's between DOT and the contractor.
Correct. Yeah. The city put up the 2.8, you know, at the beginning, and then they're going to draw from that. I think they're about $500,000 into that 2.8 work done today at Factory Street. But yeah, you're right. It's a contract between the DOT and the contractor. And but if they're going to change the cost of the unit pricing, that is the responsibility of the WPCA, then the WPCA is going to want to be in on those talks. That's why I'm bringing it up.
Well, that's true. I'm trying to understand, how do we get representation with DOT? Is that through you? How does that work?
Well, through us and through DiCarlo and Dahl. Luke's. They're the engineer of record of the drawing, so they issue the design revised drawings, and they will look at the change order in the backup information for the proposed reduction in cost. So,
yeah. Again, I'm just trying to understand this so that we stay on top of it ourselves. So, I mean,
and actually, DOT is also, because they are an administrator of the contract, they should also be looking after our interests as well. But we just don't have anything to look at right now. So.
Okay, but I think they should be reporting back to us. Look, we paid them up front in good faith. There should be periodic reports if something is changing. Because every time we get a change from DiCarlo and Dahl, we have to approve it. I think DOT or somebody should be reporting back to us and keep us up to date. So.
I will ask for that. I will send a note to the DOT. And suggest that, you know, maybe they can have a status report, project status report. They must publish one. They have weekly meetings.
Yeah, I would think so. That's why I'm asking.
Hey, Bob, you referred to the city getting money back. You do mean the WPCA, right? Not the city of Derby. It's coming back to us, right?
It went from the WPCA. I believe the check came from the city. I thought the WPCA put the 2.8 up, or was it the city? I don't know for a fact.
Well, wait a minute. That's a question I was going to ask later in the meeting, but I'll ask it now. Marcy, we now have that on our books, okay? And the check must have been written from that checkbook, right, Marcy? So the question is, who wrote it?
Who what?
Who wrote the check for $2.8 million?
I don't know. I don't see the checkbook.
So my question is,
it probably came. You want to know if it came out of the bond? I would have to look.
Well, it did come out of the bond, because if you look at the financial reports, you can see it came out. But my question is, who's writing the checks and who's doing the data entry on it?
Oh, upstairs, Nancy upstairs still.
Okay.
The new deputy finance director. They still have all the bond bills and they pay it. They have the checkbook upstairs.
Because this ties in again, particularly now, it's becoming more important. We're talking about whatever will happen or won't happen with privatization. We need to have somebody's got the radio or something in the background. Turn that off.
If I wear fashion socks,
we still don't have an up to date financial report. Rob, you sent me something. You don't even get these reports because there are no reports. We got to sit down and get this straightened out. This is still.
I'm just worried about that money going back to the wrong place.
Well, we're going to make sure it doesn't.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's why I'm asking these questions.
Yeah.
Okay? This was not handled correctly from the beginning. No one's stealing money or anything like that, but just the way it's done and who keeps the record, it's a mess, and it still is. So.
But, Jack, if this is coming out of the bond, then somebody better be a little more accurate on where that money is going. it isn't going, I mean, where it's going back to, they can't spend it on anything they want. If that's bond money, right?
No, well, that's why we have to stay on top of it, Bob. That's the whole issue. When we get the finance, we'll look at the reports. You can see where, you know, the reduction in that checking account, because that's really the only thing we have to you know, base anything on, other than Rob produces a report. But in all honesty, the city should be putting up the report that Rob does. No, that should be coming out of the finance department. I don't want to get started. I don't want to get started. Okay.
Yeah.
Don't get me started on it. Okay. Anything else, Rob?
So on the II removal, phase four is now substantially complete. There was a final pay application submitted. I think there's, other than retainage, they're done. So that project is, that came in under budget quite a bit, 56,000 actually, mainly because there was a lot less police than anticipated. We eliminated the lateral lining. We didn't, after they CIPP lined the main line and they sealed the lateral joint, we determined it wasn't necessary to line the actual lateral, the vertical. And then some of the piping diameter was actually 12 inch, not 15. So we saved on unit pricing. So the net was like a $56,000 reduction on a contract that already came in under bid. So the good under our estimate. So the good news is it came under, but on paper that we're trying to hit that 270 every year. So
right,
we have more money for phase five.
Right, and you actually gave us a report showing that.
Yeah. So this is like a general summary. You can see, you know, the four phases that are done on the left, 1, 2, 3, 4. You have the piping, the length of the piping that's been done, that have been lined or replaced, manholes that were replaced or lined. To date, we've removed over 80,000 gallons per day of removable infiltration and 1.4 MGD of removable inflow. That was the disconnection of the catch basins. So that's figured I'd give you a snapshot since we're 5 years into this, and
it's nice to get a quick summary like this. I mean, you can quickly look at that and see what we've done with it. And you've also given us a report. I don't have it up on my screen of what we've spent to date, and we need to keep track of that. So that we know we still have funds left of the $270,000 per year. So if we want to enhance a project, we have a little bit extra money for that. So
yes.
Good news.
Yep.
Okay, anything else?
We're moving with phase five. The cruiser, the BCA crews are out CCTV, and they were there out yesterday. We're moving forward with that. So we'll have a design over the winter and have that work done in the spring. And we finished up the forms. Our GIS team has worked with the WPTA's team, and they had a meeting, and I think the forms are done now. There's some training left to do and some dashboard work to do when people have time for that.
Hey, Rob, I was just thinking, with this next phase, since we do have some surplus money, would it make sense to design more into phase five, or should we wait for phase six?
I we're going to do about over 3,000 feet this time. So I think we'll be closer to the 270. Pricing has gone up a little bit, but yeah, if we could, if you have funds, if we do 300,000 as opposed to, we'll be like right there as to where we want to be on the 270 per year.
Right.
So we've been tracking fairly close.
Is there something right in the same area where you've got phase five that, would not be a major change to to add it?
Well, I think the crew, well, we may know over the next week or two.
Okay.
The,
yeah.
All right. I'll ask Ed and his team to see if there's other things that need to be done, but we can just keep going down the list. There's a, there was a 10-year list. We're halfway through it.
Right. Okay. Any other questions for Ed? All right, hearing none, let's move on. The minutes. I just had one on, I don't know what page it is, 13 or something. The sentence is incorrect. At the one about Mr. Wojtowicz on Pleasant View Road, the last sentence said, Mr. Miani feels that he is still connected, he would be still connected. I think it should be Mr. Miani felt that he's still connected, so we should still be billed, correct? That's what, the way it should read.
Okay, still be, billed.
Okay, so okay. I don't know any other changes that anyone else, someone want to make a motion to approve with changes?
Motion to approve with the changes.
Second.
Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
Abstained? Okay. So with that. All right, the next is the bills. Let me try and take these in some kind of order here. There's one bill for the bond. And that's for $1,880. So again, this one we need a motion to pay pending privatization or infrastructure committee approval, which, and they're meeting tomorrow night. That's his
motion. Motion to pay the bond bill with the understanding it also has to go before infrastructure.
Okay, do I hear a second? Second by James. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstained? Okay, hearing that. Let me get back here. All right, the next one, the regular bills. And these are all in your packet. And we'll take each grouping separately, I guess. The first one is $42,057.94. And there are 24 checks in there. Pretty routine.
Motion to approve or pay.
Do I hear a second?
Second. No, go ahead.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstained? Okay, the second one is for $10,599.19, 11 checks. And I do want to point out one of them, Roth Staffing Companies. Marcy, that's who we're paying for the part-timer, right?
Yes.
Okay, so that's a difference from our normal bills. But and we're trying to get that straightened out. Did you hear any more today, Marcy, about getting...
I heard, I went up to talk to Catherine on Monday. She's good to get a panel together of three people from other towns to interview. I'm going to sit in on the interview. And then she could, we could figure out who they want to hire. And then she does the background check. And yeah, it's a process.
For a part-time position?
I
don't know. All right, well, in any case, we have to pay these bills. So do I have a motion to pay? $10,599.19.
We just had a motion on that, right?
Did we? Okay, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I think James made a motion on that one, didn't you, James?
On this, were you talking about, yeah, this one we just did.
Okay, so all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstained? All right, the third one. Third one is for $71,084.02, 10 checks. And of course, the big one there is what we approved last month, the the manhole work for $34,000. What's your pleasure?
You get that on the screen, Jack?
Oh, wait a minute. Right there.
Yeah.
Make a motion to pay.
Yep. Second.
Okay. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstain?
Oh, maybe it's one.
Okay. And the last one of these is $550. And before we pay this, I'm going to ask Ed to comment on this town of Stratford, $500. Was that?
I was going to wait until next month's meeting when I properly wrote it up. But basically, what happened is, long story short, I was talking to a friend of mine who is the assistant superintendent for the town of Stratford, and I was showing him pictures of the new raw sewage pump that we just bought, the new Homa pump. And he had said that he has three Homa pumps that they just pulled out of one of their pump stations that went through the upgrade. We could have them
we saved a lot of money.
These are three Homa pumps that we can put in the raw sewage building. We have the one that we just bought. We have another one that's on order. So this will save us from buying a third one right away. We have these three pumps that are about 10 years old, very low hours, a little bit smaller size than the ones we put in there. But we got all three of them for $500. The check was dropped off to the town of Stratford today. They're in good working condition. We're just going to send them out to have the manufacturer go through them, and we're going to put them right in while we're waiting for the other ones to come in.
So nice savings there. Gives us a little extra capacity at the same time. So good job.
These pumps, they were going to go out to auction like the rest of them, and they were valued somewhere between $10,000 to $20,000 each. And the superintendent went to bat for us because we've helped them out in the past. They've helped us out. So we kind of went to the mayor, who has a wastewater background, described the situation, what we're dealing with, and that was the decision to give to us for $500.
Okay, very good news. All right, motion to pay.
Make a motion to pay.
Second. Harry, second. Kelly second. Was a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstained? Now, we have one other that wasn't in your packet.
Yeah, sometimes it pays to be nice and help your neighbors.
Absolutely.
I want to get some information on it. Maybe I can buy one of them from them.
I'm trying to find.
Well, I think they have some more. They just got done. They had a grant, and they did all of their pump stations, completely rebuilt. All the pumps went out to bid. They had the same pumps in every one of their pump stations. It was 50 pumps altogether that got replaced.
Wow, that's a big nut.
That's a lot.
All right, Rob, do you want to talk about the vendor's bill there, the $4,800? I've got to find it.
What's that? Which bill?
We had the other bill.
Oh, yes. From National Water Main. That was for phase four.
Yeah, I thought I had it open here, but I don't. So it's the final payment.
Yes, it's for $4,338.10. 4338.10. It's payment application number 3. There's still retainage that they will retain for a year until they do the 1 year inspection, which is 23. So
the amount is
$4,338.10. I've signed off on it.
Yeah, and we have the paperwork on it. What's your pleasure?
Motion to pay.
All right, do we hear a second?
Second.
Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstained? Okay.
Yeah, what are all these Wesson and Sampson bills? These haven't been paid. They're all dated November 7th. There seems to be like four of them in here. What are those?
Or am I jumping? I've got these up on the screen. Marcy, I didn't see a motion for. Is this because they're under $5,000?
Yeah, and they're out of our budget. It's not, they're one's on call, one, they're not really bond bills. They're just a sewer rehab, so.
Okay, but they're paid though. We're in good shape.
They will be paid, yes.
Okay.
Kelly, I did provide a summary for all of these, so just so you guys have.
Yeah, I saw that. So,
yeah, for the phase four, phase five, GIS.
We don't need a motion because each one is under $5,000, Marcy?
Yes.
Okay, but they will show up next month anyways in the
Yeah, Ed will sign off on them and assign them account numbers.
So once we go through all these bills in the tomorrow night, then we'll be current with Wesson and Sampson, right?
Yes.
Okay. All right.
Well, these aren't part of tomorrow night. The one that's the only one that we did tonight that's part of tomorrow night is the 1880.
Okay.
Would somebody please turn off their television or whatever that is in the background?
Bob, I think that's you.
Yeah. Or turn it down.
Your editors are talking to the other side of the room.
Okay. The transfer, this is the monthly transfer, $128,255.68.
Motion to transfer.
Do we have a second?
Second.
Any further discussion? Bob's coming back.
You talk a little louder, but I can't believe I picked that up. That any better?
Much better.
Yeah. We're doing a transfer, Bob. 128, 255, 68. What's your pleasure?
Aye.
Transfer what?
These are the capital fees.
Oh, capital.
Yeah. Did you vote?
Was there a motion?
Yeah, we have a motion. We've got the vote. We're just waiting for you.
I agree.
Okay, so all in favor, opposed, abstain, we're paying that. Okay, let's see, take this out. Finance. Okay. Yeah, I could be spending all night, but my big complaint today is, Marcy, what happened to our previous year to date column? When we get over here, there are no numbers in the previous year to date.
Ran out of ink.
Let's see. Maybe I ran the wrong report. Maybe I didn't do the previous. Maybe I didn't check the box when I'm giving you the.
Okay. Because, you know, as we get into it, it becomes harder to say, well, are we on budget? Was there an unusual expense?
Yeah.
So, all right, if we get that back next month. You know, I had several questions, but, you know, again, my usual one, I think we're behind on Social Security and Medicare. You know, we have on the $360,000 medical life insurance, there's only $6,400 showing. On pension, this one's a strange one. On the pension, Marcy, it shows we expended $360 out of $27,644. How did that happen that we paid $366 and not, you know, it's 6200-160-0170. It's right after workers' comp.
Yeah, I'd have to run a detail and take a look at, see what that is.
Yeah.
I can email you.
How do they bill us on it?
They just give us a bill every once in a while.
I mean, I would think it's by a formula, so I don't understand why we can't do it every month or at least every quarter.
I know. I don't know.
This makes it hard to judge if we're on track, if we're not on track. We don't have that.
Same thing with workers' comp. They don't give us a bill. And
medical.
We got a little bit of medical there.
Yeah. Which, you know, I'm trying to figure out why he's a little bit. When the, you know, it's 1.8%. We're about a third of the way through the year. So. And I just want to ask you about the Dobick and Derby Avenue repairs. They're on schedule, right, for the payment?
Dobick Terrace, there's only one person who is not, she's making payments now.
Okay.
Everyone else is paid, but this one wasn't making any payments. So I turned it over to the attorney, Dennis, and he wrote her a letter, and she is now on a payment plan. So she has been paying.
Okay.
And the other, Derby Avenue, he is on time.
Okay. All right, so
have we not received anything from Orange either?
Oh, Orange, we did receive the first half of the billing.
Okay.
Yeah. They pay the first half in September, and then they pay the second half in March.
Okay. Yeah, I just don't see it on the revenue summary.
Oh, because I haven't done it yet. I'm balancing my bank statements for August, September, and October. So that was in the September. So you'll see it next month because I will make a journal entry.
Okay. All right. So I'd ask for my usual motion to accept but not approve the finance report.
So moved.
Do we hear a second?
Second.
Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstain? Done? All right. Ed, you're up.
Okay. Collection system for October. We responded to a total of 37 call before you dig tickets with 6 emergency tickets. Responded to a total of 5 call-outs with 3 emergency call-outs. For the plant in October, we had an average daily flow of 0.8 million gallons per day, a total flow of 25 million gallons a day, and a max flow of 1.1 million gallons a day. Average total nitrogen for the month was 42 pounds per day under the limit of 71. Our annual average as of last month was 52 pounds per day. Average effluent BOD was 4.6, average suspended solids was 5, and turbidity was 2.3. Maintenance, we flushed out the secondary clarifier draft tubes and rebalanced the clarifiers, completed our quarterly maintenance, jetting and cleaning, and completed 1,450 feet of vector cleaning for the month and 1,341 feet of CCTV inspections. And we are all complete with CCTV inspections for our CMOM for the entire year as of last.
Fantastic.
So we are very good with that. Now we're just trying to keep up with all the stuff Mr. Bob keeps giving us to go check out for the INI phase 5.
Good news.
In general, the CT DOT maintenance facility in Derby Ave and Orange Municipal Agreement, Attorney Coquinos responded with a draft that he had proposed to us. We had some questions that we wanted him to investigate a little bit further. Still waiting to hear back from him. As Bob had mentioned in earlier on, we had a meeting with DiCarlo and Dahl regarding the Route 34 project. So Bob, I'm just going to ask on that real quick. So the credit that they proposed at that meeting, that's something that was proposed by DiCarlo and Dahl, or was that proposed by Fucci?
So what we're looking at was an internal document from the contractor that we were told from the DOT, inadvertently was sent to the DOT. It was a draft document. They sent it to a similar name. Instead of sending it to an internal person, they sent it to the DOT inadvertently. So we were told this to disregard that document after we had met. But it did pose a lot of questions. So DOT and the Carlindale and the contractor are still discussing the contents of that credit, but so it's nothing official.
Thank you.
On the orange thing, I saw you're concerned about the possibility if they don't design it correctly that we could have oils and whatnot getting into our system. So the contract would have to be rewritten to accommodate that so it doesn't happen?
Correct.
Okay. And, you know, what we're charging them, how does that compare to any other charges we have?
So, according to the attorney for the state, they said that they claim that they're sovereign and they do not have to pay any connection or impact fees to us because we're governed by the state of Connecticut. So the impact fees and connection fees that we had drawn up and give to them in the beginning, they pretty much said, no, we're not going to pay these. Their attorney was involved, sent us the paperwork saying they're sovereign, they're not going to pay. And I forwarded that along to Dennis, and then he forwarded to one of his partners who, you know, reached out to me, and I have it in an email stating they're pretty much right. You know, we could try to get some money out of it, but they do have a right to say that they don't have to pay.
So do we incur fees for any work that we have to do, that we have to pay for them to connect to us?
No.
Okay.
Whatever.
We just don't get the benefit of an extra fee.
Right. So any of the engineering costs that, you know, that we incur when Weston and Sampson look at it and agree with what they have, that's what we send out as an engineering fee to the state, and they pay that.
Okay. All right. I understand it.
Just so I understand this, where is this going to tie in? Out behind Hines Farm? I can't imagine where this is going.
It behind Hines Farm. So
okay.
They're a long lateral, a couple hundred feet to tie into that.
Really? I thought it would be a lot more than that. Okay, just curious.
Okay.
Lastly, I drafted a commercial and industrial impact fee. There's a couple of proposals. I sent out an email to everyone a few weeks ago. I'm not sure if anyone got it because that's when the city was doing a migration of the new emails. So I'm not sure if anybody did receive it. But there's some issues that we're running into in a few scenarios now with a few things that, you know, I'm looking for a little bit of guidance on and a little bit of structure moving forward with how we want to do things. So I reached out to the previous superintendent and discussed a few things. James had given me a breakdown of other municipalities, what they're doing, and we kind of researched everyone. And I came up with two different proposals. The first proposal is commercial properties connection impact fee based on estimated water usage, average gallon per day plus building square footage. And I did it in a tiered system, which is what Bethel does. And I thought was a pretty good system. So depending on the square footage of the building, there's a set amount for a fee. And I gave an example down at the bottom. The second proposal is when I had talked to the previous superintendent, he remembers that the commercial properties were based on the building square footage, not the building square footage and the estimated water usage for the day. So that is something that he remembers doing previously. We could stick with that. But that's according to what our reg states, it says, and it says water consumption and building square footage. So I just want to make sure that we move along the right way with it. And some of the biggest questions that we're now running into that we haven't had to deal with before, is you have a retail store, and if they go out of business and somebody else moves in and they don't change anything, are they having to pay a connection or impact fee? I'm going to take Big Y, for example, because that's another scenario. Is Big Y came in and they paid a connection fee because it's a new building, new structure that came in. Now they have an area of that that they're going to subdivide and put in a medical building. And they're going to put in a couple, like a bathroom, some sinks and stuff like that. And the contractor is stating, no, he's not going to pay an impact or connection fee because Big Y already did that. So we need a little bit, or we need some guidance as to how we want to handle these things because we don't have a structure for it.
First of all, you know, with your two proposals there, just for example, you made the, you gave the example under proposal one. That same scenario under proposal two, what would it have cost?
So if we did that, let me just calculate that out real quick. All right, so proposal two is just the building square footage times the $15 per square foot would be $37,500.
Wow. So instead of $37,000, it's $14,000.
Correct. And the reason being that we started even looking into this is we thought it was a little unusually high that both of those would be combined together. And that's when Splash Car Wash had come around and we gave them an estimate of, I think it was $105,000 for them to connect with the building square footage and the estimated water usage.
Yeah. And they were under construction now too, right?
Yes, sir.
So where do they stand then?
Well, they agreed that they would pay it. But we haven't received anything yet because they hadn't broken ground and they hadn't moved forward with the project yet. So we told them to hold off until they do.
Okay. How do people feel about this? I mean, when I look at that, that's an incredible difference.
So I'm trying to comb through our regulations right now too to see what we really have in there for impact fees and definition and how we're kind of talking about it. And there's a couple places where it says, you know, the impact fees for new connections. And then it talks about, you know, are established by the WPCA with new sewer. Yeah, and it keeps talking about like new sewer connections, not existing. At least that's this one section. I see other sections where it kind of wishy-washy as well. You know, I don't know. I do agree with the two trains of thought. Just because somebody new comes in, does that mean that they should have to pay a new impact fee? In like when a new person comes into the building? Or are we intending this impact fee to be a one-time cost? You know, I don't know. I'm wrestling with it too, because if we do proposal two the right way, then we're going to essentially look at a building footprint and say, this is the maximum amount of flow that's going to come out of this building and go into our system because of, you know, the type of use that it can do. Therefore, you know, we're already covered by that. No matter if somebody like a retail store is in there, but then they sell to somebody who actually uses water instead of a retail store, because most retail stores don't use any water, you know, a couple bathrooms, that's it. Mm-hmm. Whereas if it's somebody a little bit bigger, you know, like a kitchen or something else, they're going to use significantly more water. So, you know, if we account for that in the first one, do we need to charge somebody each time it changes hands and changes use? Are we even tracking that right now? Every time a commercial building changes use, you know what I mean? I don't know.
Well, is it a new lateral? You're using Big Y for an example. Is that getting its own separate lateral, or is that still considered what Big Y is using?
It's still considered what Big Y is using, but because now it's getting subdivided, it has a different address, poses the question.
We would for the second facility, the medical one, we would only be getting the regular usage based on water. We would still collect that, right?
Correct.
But they wouldn't pay a second fee.
They wouldn't pay the initial impact fee as a new business going in, because they're technically already connected because Big Y paid the connection when they came in.
Right.
But based on that, the original fee was based on the fact that Big Y was the sole operator and the number of bathrooms or whatever they had was fixed. So now you're adding another separate business for an additional bathrooms. To me, that's a separate connection. Rather than tying right into the main line, they just have a lateral. What's the difference? If they tied into the main line, they would be paying a separate connection fee.
Well, technically, they're already connected, right?
They'd already be connected. So for like, let's keep going down the Big wide rabbit hole. if they're already connected, would you recharge them for the building square footage or only the estimated water usage? They already paid us for the square footage at that point.
I think there should be a fee for the added lateral if they're going to use another lateral, but I think you can really only get them for the water. I don't know. I'm kind of torn on this one. I would say they're projected water.
And I agree. As long as there's no new lateral installed, I don't know how we can charge for square footage. We can only charge for the change in water usage.
Yeah.
Right.
And when the new and now at that point, would it be different? The change in water usage, not just, or would it just be evaluated as, all new water usage, here you go, you know?
Well, it'd be a separate billing to the new company, no?
For usage. In terms of their, you know, so if we look at like proposal one, the impact connection/impact fee is based upon estimated water usage and building square footage. So if they're not adding a second lateral, they're keeping the existing lateral. I don't know how we can charge for that building square footage again when it was already charged.
But
so it comes down to the water usage. Now, are we going to take the difference between what the new use is and the old use that they already paid for and break the fee out that way? Or are we just going to look at it and basically just say, yeah, whatever your usage fee is, just follow the same tier? The usage doesn't have a tier. Never mind.
Well, who's paying the usage? Is Big Y paying for both, or is a separate billing for the new company?
Well, monthly billing is different than what we're talking about. We're talking about a one-time payment.
Right, but that's already been done. That already happened.
But if you're adding bathrooms, and like you say, a kitchen or laboratory work, now you've got a daily flow there. I think they should be, at a minimum, be responsible for the daily flow that's calculated for what they're putting in. If they stay with the existing lateral coming out of the big Y section, then I don't think it's an addition. But if they're going to put a new lateral into that trunk line, I think they have to be responsible for something there.
I'd like to add something here. I think we're missing the boat when we use square footage. What's that got to do with our cost of operating the sewage plant? We're supposed to be spreading the cost across the entire population, whether it be commercial or residential. By looking at it and saying, you got a 10,000 square foot building, they may have only one bathroom. What's that got to do with maybe a storage house or something? Square footage, to me, doesn't even belong in there. You should be charging for every connection. You have a fee for the connection, and then anybody who connects into the sewer line has to pay their share. And the usage would be commercial usage, maybe, and residential usage, if you're going to go by usage. So it doesn't make any sense, square footage. I mean, somebody has an 11,000 square foot building, and somebody has a 9,000, there's a significant, it shouldn't have any bearing on these costs of operating a sewage plant. It's the amount of use you have of the plant. How many bathrooms you have, and what you're, if you have a car wash, you got a high usage, you're going to be paying a high fee for usage fee. But it doesn't make much sense going by square footage. I don't see that at all.
It's just that's the way it was set up originally, right?
Yeah, it didn't make any sense now. I don't know how it made any sense then, you know?
Yeah.
I mean,
how do we compare with our neighbors? Because, you know, this becomes an economic development issue too. You know, if our fees are out of line with other towns, and a business comes in and says, well, if I go to Derby, I'm going to pay this. And if I go to Shelton, I'm going to pay that.
Right.
Are we setting ourselves up for a problem here? Or have we already set ourselves up for a problem?
I think we already set ourselves up for a problem. That's why it's best to start looking at it, because for a car wash to come in and pay $105,000 just to come in, it seems pretty pricey. Or if, you know, one retail store went out and another one comes in, they're potentially going to get charged twice for the same building that already paid to connect.
Yeah, I don't.
Well, it sounds as though we're all pretty much in agreement that if they're not putting a new lateral in, that the original fee would have covered that. That's a sense I'm getting from what be. And you guys all know a lot more about this than I do. Let me ask Rob. You deal a lot of other communities. Are we out of line?
I think these are definitely more fair if they're flow based, like, as opposed to by square footage. It is easier to manage by square footage, because that's a simple, you can track it. It doesn't change. You can it's implementable, but it may not be representative of a true impact. Like you said, if you have a $10,000 square foot warehouse versus a 10,000 square foot restaurant, definite difference in usage.
But the impact, again, I'm being naive here. The impact fee is only paid once, correct?
Correct.
Okay.
Well,
so what happens if you
no? Huh? Well, once per
owner.
All right. So this is where it gets a little muddy, and this is going to lead me into my next question. You know, right now we're talking about, again, Big Y. Big Y already paid an impact fee and connection fee, but now they're changing uses. Now, you know, should they be paying another one? Is, I think, the first question. But then the main question that I have is, how well are we set up, you know, WPCA here in Derby, set up to be able to work with zoning to know when a new use is being proposed in a structure so that we can then collect the fee.
Okay, so I can answer that because thanks to Big Y, that's how this whole thing got started, is the contractor that's doing the work was going to planning and zoning, and because they have somebody new at planning and zoning, they wanted, you know, they kicked it back to us. They're like, you know, we're not really sure what we have to do or what you guys have to do. You know, the plumber is very adamant that you guys don't need to be involved because they already paid for Big Y. So we went back and forth for a while. That's how we came across this. And now even he had said that he views this as a new connection because it's being subdivided. So because of this whole situation, planning and zoning now, every time they go out to do an inspection on a new business, is going to get a hold of us so that we have to go out and inspect it and do it as well.
Yeah, because getting back to like what Rob was saying, I think that's why the square footages were used, because if you use a square footage, you can literally, from our standpoint, we just say, here's the maximum flow that's going to come out of it. So we're going to account for it anyway. Like, instead of accounting for it as a warehouse, we account for it as a restaurant, for instance. Now, this way, when the warehouse goes away and a restaurant comes in, we're already covered because we already got our fee. That's the benefit to the square footage. However, as long as things are set up interdepartmentally, I think the taking square footage out of it and basing it upon water usage is the right thing to do. And then, like how Kelly, like we're set up in Bethel, it essentially be, you know, when somebody increases the usage, you know, they're paying for the extra usage, you know, they're going into the our allocation. So,
but yeah, let me ask a question about that, James. Are they paying a higher impact fee or a water usage fee?
No, I would say it's water usage, James. Correct me if I'm wrong, but it's water usage, because I'll give you an example, like a residential. We usually bill out 100 gallons a day per bedroom in residential. Yeah. So if someone comes in and we get wind that they're putting an addition on the house, if it was a 3-bedroom, it got switched to a 4-bedroom, now we'd hit them for that extra 100 gallons a day.
Correct.
Because of the addition. Now I'm looking at this. I'm just visualizing Big Y. It's the same footprint. The same footprint has been paid. So really, the only thing we can go with is the allocation, how much water they're going to use per day, unless they put in another lateral.
Correct.
And if they put in another lateral, then we have to. There's got to be some kind of fee that goes with a lateral. Your footprint is already covered in your square footage, but if you go to another lateral, now you're looking at a whole separate building. So that, I think we have to readjust to that if they're putting in a lateral.
Yeah. I agree. If a new lateral is coming in, you know, whatever, even if we had a flat rate for a new lateral on a property, right? We say, I'm just going to throw out a number, $1,000. For the lateral. Then on top of it, you have to add in the estimated flow. Correct. Times, I mean, we're showing $4 a gallon here per gallon. You know, that flow times the 4 plus the 1,000, that's your fee. Now, again, now that building is, let's say it was 1,000 gallons a day, simple math. So 4 times 1,000, that's 4,000 plus the $1,000 for the lateral at 5,000. That building is now allocated for 1,000 gallons a day. Now, if a new use comes in for 2,000 gallons a day, we need to be able to charge them the increase of 1,000 gallons times our $4 per gallon, so that we get that. We don't need to charge them for the lateral. We just need to get that allocation for the increase in daily flow. That's my logic. I don't know.
Now, if they can tie, if there's a way they can tie into Big Y's lateral, which for some reason I'm picturing that going across the center of the parking lot toward the Heavenly Donut. If they can tie in to that lateral, then the only thing we can get them is the fee. But if they're going to put it into our trunk line, then we need to get a fee there of them tying into our trunk line. But I think if there is a way that they can tie into Big Y's lateral now, then we've already paid for that footprint, or they've already paid for the footprint. The only thing we can really get them is the water allocation.
But Kelly, the footprint was only for Big Y, not for a lateral. A lateral, they're creating their own sewer system, right? They're extending our sewers. They're extending the sewer system at our expense, right?
Well, it depends where they come in. Ed, do we own it all the way up to the building? Well, I mean, that's a big piece of private property there. We don't take ownership until out in the street, right? I don't know. So now if they put a lateral into that trunk line that they own, I don't know whether we can charge them for it.
Well, if we were to take a piece, with that in mind, you take a piece of property like in Orange where they put 50 houses in.
Yep.
If they were in one line, main line, up to the property line, and then the developer get in and put all his laterals into every house, you don't have the impact fee because you just got 50 people tying in?
Yeah, all right, I see what you mean there.
That dog doesn't hurt.
Yeah. And
what happens to the capital fees?
That gets charged their consumption. It's based off their consumption of how many EDUs they have. I figure that out every bill.
I go back to my point. They are going to be billed separate from Big Y.
If they have a separate meter, they will be. If they're on one meter, then the Big Y consumption will be higher and they'll end up paying one way or another through Big Y or a separate bill.
But again, the capital fee, what happened?
It changes. If your consumption is higher, there's more EDUs. So you pay according the number of EDUs based on your consumption.
But you'd be missing the initial connection fee, right?
Well, I don't have anything to do with. Well, that's Ed's department. I mean,
that's what happened there.
Well, it seems to me we've raised a lot of good issues. This is a good discussion.
Yeah.
I'd like to get more feedback about the towns right around us because to a certain degree, there are competition. If we have fees that are exorbitant, they're going to hurt us. And if we're too low, then we're hurting ourselves as well. Exactly. So I think if we could get some detail about the, Ansonia, Shelton, and Seymour specifically, I think that would help our discussion, but it's still a tough discussion. I'm learning a lot. There's a lot of
things. I just feel the square footage has already been covered. I think the water usage is the big one that you got to get them on. The impact fee is already there, with the exception of the extra lateral. I think maybe there should be one more step to it, charging something per lateral.
Connection fee?
Yeah. It's tough. This is
another comment, if you would. On estimating the water usage, you could use the Department of Public Health, code. Right. They tell you how on all commercial, industrial, residential, how to estimate a salon versus a school versus a restaurant. The other thing you can do and consider is flow water meter. If you have a 3/4, if someone upsizes their meter, then you can have if you don't estimate their flow, you can have an impact fee based on the meter size. You can, if they have a 3/4-inch water meter, that's a certain charge. If they have a 1 inch, 1.5 inch, 2 inch water meter, that kind of they're buying a potential to use, assuming that water goes into the gravity source, but you're buying into with a larger meter, potentially more need to use the WPCA infrastructure. So
Well, regardless of what we decide, I mean, James, I saw you, you know, you were looking at all the rules and regulations. We have to get those written before we vote on anything. So I would say we gather the information on surrounding towns, look at the language that we'd like to change. And I think it's very timely now. You know, it's very timely. I mean, obviously the big one is that car wash. But, you know, with Route 34 finally happening, and, you know, I'm talking to Walter, several companies that are interested in coming in and building there. We need to get this in place before any of that happens.
Before the apartments go up, the big apartments in Shelton be a good one because they have car washes and they also have a lot of development there, apartments.
Yeah. You
know, so that'd be a good one, actually.
But, you know, I'll ask one other question. When was the last time any of this was changed?
Oh, long time. Long time. But you have to have a public, you know, you have to have a public hearing, right?
Oh, yeah. I'm just saying at this point, we don't know what direction we want to go because there are good points raised here. So I think we need to, you know, solidify what direction we want to go, but we need to do that based on the best information we've got. So I would say, you know, let's come back next month with information about surrounding towns. And if anyone wants to take a crack at the language, we may have to get Dennis involved in this too.
Well, it depends on, so I think we're all kind of on the same page. You know, we all like the logic of usage governing the impact fee in comparison to the square footage. I mean, that's just what I'm kind of getting between Bob and Kelly. I mean, Jack, I think you're kind of on board with that too.
Yeah, I am. I want to be as fair as possible.
Yeah, and I do think that that's probably the most fair way. And then that would just require us to just redo some of the language within the regulations, which shouldn't be bad. Ed, do you need, like, for the big Y right now, do you need anything from us in terms of a direction, or have we kind of given it already?
You know, until we get it solidified, I think the best thing for us to do on our end at the plant is when something like this happens, I'm going to give them an estimate of what it's going to cost. And before they give us a check, I'm going to say they're going to have to come in front of the board and plead their case, whether or not they think they should have to pay what it would be. So at least that way we'll start to get some sort of structure and some guidance on how we want to handle this. Because if you know, Big Y comes to us, and it's not Big Y, they're subleasing it to somebody else. So when they come and say, well, listen, you know, we're not going to pay you, or if, you know, we're going to hold off because you don't know what's going on. And then, you know, it falls through the cracks and they end up not having to pay anything, or they get a CO and they start running business. And then they say, well, you know, we're already up and running. We're not going to give you an impact fee. I think in my mind, the best thing to do would be, I'm just going to proceed the way that we have been doing it. And then tell them, you know, you'll have to come in front of the board, you know, if you want to plead your case for something different until everything is resolved. Because I want to be as fair as possible too. I don't want to do one thing for one person and something different for somebody else.
Yeah.
I want to be completely structured across the board. We know what we're doing, how to handle this, no matter what the situation is every time.
And you just raised another interesting thing. You talked about they get a CO. Does the building inspector take into consideration what they owe us or should be doing with us before they issue that CO?
I don't think they did before. I think they will be now.
Yeah.
You know what, Jack? That's a big issue that I've been dealing with for 17 years up in Bethel.
I'm working on it.
Yeah, we're trying to get all of our paperwork, all the departments, basically James, a checklist that says if there's an outstanding payment that's required, that final CO will not be issued. I mean, I do it through emails now, but there does need to be a procedure within town, interdepartment. That's a whole nother ball.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I know that. So unfortunately, you know, there's a lot of departments, you know, WPCA and utilities kind of included, where we don't have a lot of teeth and it's hard to hold stuff up, you know, and we tend to have to fall upon building with that CO. So, you know, as long as it's known that they need to just check, it'll go a long way for our departments to make sure that, you know, we get what we need.
And in Derby, it's even more convenient. Isn't our building inspector in Shelton?
Yeah.
So it comes down to the admin in the office.
Yeah.
Realistically, that's what it comes down to. So before that CO can be issued, that individual needs to be reaching out to, realistically, what they should be doing is going to WPCA, health, zoning, wetlands. They should be requesting, you know, all right, is everyone okay? Yep. Okay, yep. Good. Then they can give their CO. That's how we should work.
But even the fire marshal.
Even the fire marshal. Fire marshal included. Yeah. Engineering, all that's included.
Well, I mean, again, I think this has been a really good discussion. I'm learning a lot tonight. I don't know about the rest of you. And it's not simple. But, you know, I've heard several times people say we want to be fair. Okay. I'll toss in, we also want to be competitive with our neighbors.
Yeah. You know, I never even thought about the competitive side, but you're right. No, you're absolutely right.
Yeah.
Especially with Shelton, because it's right there.
Yeah.
And, you know, Shelton's booming.
Yeah. And they have a reputation for being business friendly.
Yeah.
So, you know, we need to be business friendly too. And not to our detriment, but to our benefit. So, all right. So, you know, we'll continue this discussion. And let's see if we get something done in the next couple of months. It'd be great to, you know, because I don't think we'll see, you know, much new construction or whatnot during the winter. So we've got a little bit of time. But I think we do need to take a close
look at this. You even got, what have you got, three more units that are going in where Curtis used to be? Adams. I call Curtis. How old am I?
I was scratching my head trying to remember where that was.
I do it all the time.
They're right across. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Kelly.
No, I just, you know, they're right down the pike, too. You know, they're going to be coming before you for the three different developments that are going to go in there.
Well, for a change, it's going to be a nice problem to have.
Yeah.
Okay. Yep. Nice problem to have, but we need to be fair about it. So, all right.
I had the cost estimate to the developer. I think it was at Trolley Circle, the one that's going at the Route 8, Route 34 section, with the 105 units that are coming in. The connection fee is about $500,000.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow. So we've got some work to do.
Work. That one's pretty simple. That one isn't commercial. It's all residential. So that one's pretty squared away in the in our literature. So.
It doesn't really matter if it's commercial, residential. I mean, I don't necessarily care. I care about the amount of flow that's coming. You know, so even like Kelly said, when somebody comes in to add a bedroom, that's got to go to utilities. That's got to be looked at for sewer usage.
Yeah.
See, Jack, we got a different page up there too, because we have to. We're allowed three different points going into Danbury because they take our sewage and they treat it. So we're only allocated a certain amount of gallons per day. So that's another piece that we have to keep track of up in Bethel.
Yeah.
You know, it's just more one step more involved than what we're dealing with here in Derby.
And this isn't simple in Derby either. So
yeah, no, you're right. You're right.
All right, again, a very good discussion, and we'll work on it. Let's see. We've done the transfer. All business privatization update. We had a meeting the other day, but we didn't have a meeting. No one showed up, so we didn't have a meeting. The positive is that the company is working on the appraisal. Okay, we had a meeting a week ago Monday, and we have we're working on all the documents they need to do the appraisal. They came and did a site visit with Ed on Thursday, and the target is to get us their report, or at least the preliminary report, before the end of the year. So things are moving. Ed, Rob, Marcy, you want to comment on the documentation they're looking for?
They're looking at, for financial records for going back a few years. I briefly looked at it.
Yeah, I mean, I think those are pretty simple. I think the trickiest one is the one that Rob was working on the referendum. They probably aren't that interested in that immediately, but you know, we need a final up-to-date report on the referendum, including everything. Rob has all the construction and engineering, but you know, we have all those other fees as well. So that should all be on the city system, but I doubt that they could produce that report because you know, they put it on our system only from June 30th of last year. So we don't have all those records. So it's going to be a challenge. But it, you know, the good news is I was impressed with the company. They seemed to know what they were doing. They sensed our urgency, not wanting it to drag on. And I think they're committed to getting this report in time. James, would you agree? Because you were there. And Ed?
Yeah.
Yeah. We don't want this hanging over our head anymore. One way or the other, we've got to come up with whatever it's going to be. So, okay. I don't have anything else.
Going to ask one more time, or another time, not one more. Where do we stand about getting our money from the city for our bond issue? I really think we need to contact our attorney to look into the records and see exactly how it's spelled out and go back to the city. We're going to get caught with our pants down at the end of this thing.
You're talking about the capital fees?
Yep.
Okay. Yep. Yeah, I think that's.
Nothing's been done. I mean, they don't pay it. So, yeah, they have to go to the alderman, I guess. And you're going to have the WPCA and the city are going to have to work it out. They should start meeting and talking about it.
Well, in defense of us, we've made
that. I know you've tried. I know.
Many times. I know. Yeah. I don't see them reaching out to us, but we certainly did reach out. I even went to their meetings and said, hey. So,
yeah.
I'll talk to Walt again, but, you know, again, our only claim is that, at least as far as I understand it, when they did the original calculations for the payback, they included the city paying those fees. But do I have any documentation? I don't have anything. That was long before I was involved in any of this. So,
well, that's why I think our attorney there, maybe he needs to dig. Because all we're doing is we're hurting the average taxpayer, hurting every one of us on the screen here because we're paying it and the town is not. So in 20 years,
there's going to be a shortfall.
And we're, as taxpayers, going to be responsible for it because the city's not doing their due diligence.
Yeah. And Kelly, you know, I'd be interested in seeing if the document actually exists.
Yeah.
You know, I think there was certainly an understanding that's the way it was, but I wonder if that was ever put in writing. So,
well, when they figured out the fees that everybody was going to pay, those city properties were included.
But is that documented? That's what I'm asking, Mark.
I don't know.
You know, because we can, you know, stand there until we're blue in the face, but if there isn't something in writing, it becomes he said, she said. So, yeah.
Yeah.
They probably will not pay it. Because they're going to take the position that the city is made up of the same people who are paying right now.
Well, then we got to make it known to the taxpayers that they're getting screwed.
Yeah.
Well, no,
the ratepayers. I'm sorry, the ratepayers.
But who else is paying into the city but the ratepayers?
Yeah.
It's people who own property, right?
Yeah,
those are the ones that are paying, and what you're asking for is the city is collecting from the same base to pay for something that, I don't think we had a leg to stand on. To be honest with you, I'd like to see them do it, but I don't see what's going to happen.
Well, you know, we have other issues. When a couple of years ago, Ben Reno said we weren't paying the fees that we should have been paying, and I said, well, let's sit down and talk about that. We're willing to talk about it. So, yeah, the big deal is that it's adding up every year. And at some point, the bill comes due and it has to be paid.
Yeah.
I mean, do we have to pay for cops?
Okay. Yeah, we do.
And done. I don't need to go any further. Like, to me, if it's all supposed to be one, but we have a completely separate budget. So that's the difference, is we're 100% separated from the rest of the city.
Yes.
Well, at least financially.
Right. The money is supposed to be separate.
We're separated only when they want us to be.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
You know, James, I believe our fees, police fees for the Roosevelt Drive were over $300,000. Am I correct, Rob?
That's about right. They were significant.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can view it every municipality, you're going to have the same issue because we have it, you know, no matter what, we have it. The only break we get is $20 an hour because the town owns the police cars. So they don't charge us for the police cars on the private jobs. That's the only break we get in Bethel.
We pay.
Every municipality is the same.
Yeah. So, again, no one can say that we haven't reached out to try and straighten it out. So I'll reach out to Walt again because the more it adds up, the worse it's going to be. But it could come to a head sooner rather than later. You know, if by chance it never moved to privatization, it becomes an issue that day.
Yep.
I'm not saying it will, but I'm just saying that's one scenario that would speed it up. So, all right. Good meeting. A little longer than I expected because of the discussion. But someone want to make a motion? Oh, I do want to say one thing. You know, last time we talked to Ed about the old vehicle that we had from the city and whatnot. We've gotten vehicles from them. And that has been disposed of to Frank Pepe. The city got something in return. Rather than us getting $2,500, the city got some kind of a plate and some work to be done at the parking garage. So that has been done as well. So that issue at this point. All right. Motion to adjourn?
Motion.
Second. Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstain? Hey, have a great Thanksgiving.
Good night.
See you next month.
Kelly, we'll see you tomorrow, and Jack, we'll see you tomorrow, and Ed.
Yep, I'm gonna
infrastructure.